Okay, good morning everybody. Guten Moe. Today's daf is Shabbos daf Lamed Tes. We left off on daf Lamed Ches Amid Beis. We're in the fifth medium-sized line on daf Lamed Ches Amid Beis. We fell a little short of the Mishnah yesterday. Today's shir is sponsored first anonymously L'Zechus Rufo Shalema for Noach Ben Yuspa Devori Shrev Rufo Shalema Bekarov. It is also sponsored by Dr. David Landerer in honor of his wife and children. It is also sponsored by the Snita, Walfish, and Feinberg families B'Zechus Rufo Shalema for our mother, grandmother, and great-grandmother Tova Bas Golda. And it is also sponsored by Jerry Gross for his dear 92-year-old uncle Yosef Tzvi Ben Rachel HaKohen and for Harav Chaya Aryeh Zev Ben Edel, who are both desperately battling the COVID-19 virus, and the zchus of the daf shir, they and Kol Cholei Am Yisrael should be zochet to Rufu Shalema Bekarov Mamish. We thank all the sponsors very much. So again, we're holding about the fifth medium-sized line on daf Lamed Chesam Beis. So we're going to finish up the discussion of comparing and contrasting the different types of ovens, a kira and a kupach and a tanur, and what the difference is between them. Then the Mishnah on the bottom of Lamed Chesam Beis is going to make four different statements that it's going to introduce us to the sugya of unconventional cooking with chama, with toldos chama, with toldos ar. And the Gemara is going to discuss cooking specifically in hot sand. We're also going to discuss a certain type of pipe that had water run through it, that ran through hot springs, and therefore the water was heated up. And that's going to lead us to a discussion about Hatmana Bedavar Hamosif Hevel. And then what one might argue is the primary sugya on this daf, on Amud Beis, we're going to have the sugya of bathing on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So that's in Yana Dioma a little bit, whether one is allowed to shower, whether one is allowed to bathe on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So let's begin on Lamed Chesam Beis. Again, we are at the words Amar Le Ravacha Bere De Rava Le Rav Ashi. Hai Kupach Hechidami. What exactly is the nature of this kupach? What does it look like, this type of cooking instrument? Ika Kira Dami. If it's like a Kira, then I feel Begefes of Eitzim Nami. Then even if you fire it up using Gefes and Eitzim, it should be mutter to put a Kedera as long as it's Garif Akatum. Because by a Kira, you're allowed to do it. So if a kupach is just like a Kira, it should have the same halacha. And Ika Tanur Dami. And if it's like a tanur, afilu b'kashim gavava nami lo, then even if it's fueled with kashim gavava, it should not be mutter to put something samach lo. Why do we allow, why is it sometimes, essentially what the Gemara is asking, why is it that we sometimes treat the kupach like a kira, and sometimes treat it like a tanur, like we said at the end of yesterday's shir? So amalei, nafesh, havli mit kira, v'zutra, havli mit tanur. It's quite simple. The reason it's treated somewhere in between a kira and a tanur is that it is in fact somewhere in between a kira and a tanur in terms of the intensity of the heat that it produces. So hechidami kupach vehechidami kira. Physically, what does the kupach look like? What does the kira look like? So I'm Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, kupach makum shvisas kedera achas. The kupach is more intense heat because it's narrower. It only has space for one pot, and therefore the heat is more contained. Whereas kira makum shvisas shtei kederos. The kira has place on top of it to put two different pots, and therefore it is less hot than the kupach. So Rabbi Vitema Rabbi Yirmia, in fact, there's a Beferish Mishnah in Kalim that seems to confirm this idea that while a kira has place for two pots, a kupach only has place for one pot. Because kira shenechluk ala arka, the Mishnayos in Kalim discuss when something loses the status of a kli. If you break it and it's no longer functional, it loses the status of a kli, and that's very relevant for the halachos of tumah and tahara, for something being able to be mekabel tumah or losing its tumah if it is already destroyed and no longer has a status of a kli. So if you have a kira that's cut lengthwise, it's cut along it's split into two along its length, tahora, it is now useless and therefore tahora. It's no longer going to have tuma of a kli because you can't put any pot on it if it has become too narrow. But l'rachba tumeya. But if you cut the kira in half along its width, since it started with space for two pots and now you cut it along its width, there's space for one pot on each side of it, and therefore it's still going to be considered a kli, it's still going to be tmeya. But kupach ben l'arko ben l'rachbo tahar. But since a kupach, even when it begins, it only has space for one kli, so it's more square shaped, so whichever way you cut it, whichever way you slice it, lengthwise or widthwise, it's going to be tahora because there's no longer going to be room for that one pot. It's going to be useless at that point. Okay, so that finishes up the sugya from yesterday. Now we begin a new Mishnah on the bottom of Lamed Chesam and Beis, again discussing Bishul in unconventional ways. Cooking not by use of direct fire or coals. So which of these methods of cooking is mutter and which are aser? So Einos and Beitza B'tzada Mechem B'shul Shen Eskalgel. You're not supposed to put an egg next to a kettle so that it would boil up and then become a hard-boiled egg. And the Eskalgel is that you could tell whether an egg is cooked or whether it's not cooked on how it rolls or spins. So that's why we use that term, Eskalgel. V'loyef Kiena B'sudrin. You also should not fry an egg on a hot cloth. You break the egg open and you pour it out onto a hot cloth and it will fry on that cloth. You're not allowed to do that either, even though sudrin are only toldos hachama. The cloth was obviously heated by the sun. It was not heated by fire. If it would have been heated by a fire, it would have burnt. So the chacham still aser being mevashel the egg on the sudar, which is only toldos hachama, because we're afraid you'll come to confuse the toldos hachama with toldos ha'ar, which was heated by fire itself, and therefore they asered even toldos hachama in this case. But Rabbi Yossi Matir, the Rabbi Yossi disagrees with the Chum. He says, since the sudar is only toldos hachama, you're allowed to fry an egg on toldos hachama. V'loyet minena b'chol uvavak derachim b'shvil shetitzla. You also should not do hatmana of the egg. You should not insulate the egg in hot sand or in the dirt in order that it should become roasted. So now the Mishnah brings a maisa relating to this. Maisa shalsu anshei Tveria ve'viusil and shilzinon l'tocham shalchamin. The people of Tveria on Erev Shabbos set up a pipe that had cold water running through it, but it went through, the pipe traveled through the Chamei Tveria, and therefore it was heated by the Chamei Tveria. So Amlem Chachamim, the Chacham said that in Beshabbos, if that water entered that pipe on Shabbos, Kechamin Shulchum B'Shabbos, then it has the same din as water that's heated by a fire on Shabbos. And the halacha is Vasurim B'Rechitza U'B'Shtiyah. You're not allowed to do anything with that water. You're not allowed to bathe with that water, and you're not allowed to drink that water, even though the water running through the pipe was done miba'od yom. It was done before Shabbos started. I mean, you set up the entire system before Shabbos started, and typically you're allowed to start a malacha before Shabbos that's going to conclude on Shabbos, that's going to happen on Shabbos. We had that back in the Brais on Daf Yud Ches Amud Aleph when we spoke about potkin mayim legina umismalis v'leches kol Shabbos kula, that you can set up an irrigation system by your garden that's going to continue to water your garden on Shabbos. So, nevertheless, we asr over here because the Chachamim asered because of a gzeira that you might come to do it be a dayim b'Shabbos, you might come to actually push the water through this pipe on Shabbos. And even though Chami Tveria are toldos chama, and the whole Isra of Bishul in toldos chama is only an Isra midrabanan, nevertheless, we don't consider this a gzeira l'gzeira, we consider it like one single gzeira. This is what Tosus points out in Dibra Maschil Ma'aseh. And then Tosus points out that the Silon was closed, that it could be that the Silon was closed and it had holes with a covering on it, and on Shabbos they would remove the covering and the water in the Silon would mix with the water of the Amma. And therefore, so according to that, it's only a single gzeira. It's toldos chama, atu toldos ar, because you were directly heating the water on Shabbos with the toldos achama, and that's that's the gezeira atu toldos ar. So anyway, so that's what they told them, that it's us, that if this happens on Shabbos, you're not allowed to bathe in that water, you're not allowed to drink that water, but in B'Yom Tov, if it happens on Yom Tov, then it takes on the status of water that was heated on Yom Tov, where the difference obviously between Hilchos Shabbos and Hilchos Yom Tov is that the Torah tells us that one is allowed to do Melachas Ochel Nefesh on Yom Tov, and therefore it's still going to be asur to bathe in the water on Yom Tov, and we'll discuss that on Amud Beis, but you will be allowed to drink it because you're allowed to heat drinking water on Yom Tov. You're allowed to cook water to drink on Yom Tov. So that would be mutter on Yom Tov. So now, the Mishnah said that you're not allowed to put an egg next to a kettle in order that the egg should become boiled. So you boil who? Gilgal Mai. And what if you did? What if on Shabbos you put the egg next to the kettle? Is it Chiv of Bishul Daraisa, or is it only Midrabbanan? Some Rav Yosef, Gilgal Chayiv Chatos. That's an Issa Daraisa, you Chayiv Chatos. Just like Yuchayev Chatos, just like any other Isser Minat Torah. Amar Marbrei Ravina, Afana Nami Tanina. So we have a Mishnah later on, Daf Kuf Memhei, that says the same thing, that Kol Shabbat B'chamin, any salted food that was soaked in a hot Kli Rishon, Milifnei HaShabbos, before Shabbos, Shorin Osa B'chamin B'Shabbos, you're allowed to re-soak it in hot water on Shabbos, and that's not considered Bishul, because the Bishul was already concluded before Shabbos, meaning this is put formulated differently. This is the rule of Ein Bishul Achar Bishul, that once a food is fully cooked before Shabbos, to then re-cook it on Shabbos is not going to be a violation of an Issa D'Oraisa. That's not going to be called Bishul. And Mekol Shalo Babacham Milifnei HaShabbos, Madich Nosa Bacham B'Shabbos. Anything that was not cooked before Shabbos, you're allowed to rinse it in warm water on Shabbos, because Hadacha, pouring warm water over it, does not constitute Bishul, and therefore, even though this item was not cooked before Shabbos, pouring hot water on it is not Bishul, and that's why you're allowed to do that. Tosos points out in Dibra Maschul Kol that there is a Machlokas Rashbam and Rabbeinu Tam, whether Irui Kli Rishon has the capacity to be Mevashel. If you take a hot kettle off of the fire, or let's say you pour water out of your urn, so you pour from the hot kettle directly over raw food, or you pour water from your urn directly over raw food, does that have the capacity to be Mevashel? So the Tosos tries to work through how each opinion is going to understand this line in the Gemara, because the Gemara is telling us here you have a raw food and it is mutter to be madiach. To be madiach sounds like you're allowed to pour water directly over it. So Tos points out, if you hold like the Rashbam, that Iroi Kli Rishon has a din of Kli Sheni, meaning it's not Mevashel, it doesn't have the capacity to be Mevashel, so then this Gemara makes plenty of sense. The Gemara is telling us you can pour from the hot kettle directly over the raw food on Shabbos. It's only Iroi Kli Rishon. It's not able to be Mevashel. But if you hold like the Rabbeinu Tam, that Iroi Kli Rishon is Mevashel, then you have to say that the Iroi that we're talking about over here is not from a Kli Rishon. You have to say that it's from a Kli Sheni, and that's why it doesn't have the capacity to be Mevashel. So ask Tosos, if a Kli Sheni is Mutter, if it's a Kli Sheni, then it's Mutter even to soak it in a Kli Sheni, because a Kli Sheni isn't Mevashel. Why does it have to say that you're Mediach? Just say that you're putting it into the Kli Sheni. So Tosos says that since the Mayim in the Kli Sheni is very hot, that at least looks like Bishul and would be Asur Midrabanan to soak something in the Kli Sheni. Or Tosla says, maybe really it is mutter to soak it in the Kli Sheni if it hasn't been cooked. The reason we say Madichin is to tell us that Maliach HaYoshin and Kulyos HaEspanin, which we're about to identify as things that are very easily cooked, are Asur even Bahadacha Mikli Sheni, even Irei Kli Sheni would not be allowed for those things that we're about to identify as Kale HaBishul, as those things that are very easily cooked. As the Gemara says, Chutz Min HaMaliach HaYoshin, except for that which was salted for a long period of time, an old salted thing where it's become so soft that it's now going to be very easily cooked, with kulyos espanyin, or a type of soft fish that once you salt it, the rinsing will remove the salt and will soften it. So you're not allowed to even do a hadacha on these things with Shabbos, shadachasan zui gemar melachton, because even though normally pouring something according to the Rashbam from a Kli Rishon, or according to Rabbeinu Tam from a Kli Sheni, lacks the capacity to be Mevashel, but these things that we commonly refer to as Kale HaBishel, that which is very easily cooked, will become cooked even by a Kli Sheni, and certainly by an Iroi Kli Rishon. So Shema Mina, so you see from the fact that we say Zui Gemar Melachton, that's something that that you eat partially cooked, that level of Bishul on that type of food is considered Bishul Gomer that you're going to be Chayiv on. So the same is true when it comes to all of this was brought up because of the Gilgal Beitza, because of putting an egg next to a kettle. So since some people eat it that way, it's considered to be the Gemar Melacha, and therefore it's considered to be Nisa Daraisa. So we're comparing the Gilgal Beitza to Kale HaBishul. That Kale HaBishul, even though they don't really get fully cooked, but they get cooked enough to be eaten. That's the way these items are typically eaten. Therefore, it's going to be an issur d'oraisa to cook them, even in unconventional ways of cooking, even if not direct cooking. Of course, a major discussion in poskim is what do we consider kali abishal, what do we not? Because the rules are pretty clear. Kli rishon has the capacity to be mevashel. Iroi kli rishon, machlokas rishonim, whether it has the capacity to be mevashel. Kli sheni does not have the capacity to be mevashel. So can you put raw foods in a kli sheni in order to heat them up or to cook them? So if they are not kalei abishal, it's 100% mutter. The question is, how do we define what's called kalei abishal and what's not? So many poskim are just machmir that unless we know that something is not kalei abishal, unless the Gemara identifies it as chumrei habishal, as that which is that which does not cook as easily, we have to assume that it is kalei habishal. Whereas other poskim suggest that maybe that's not always the case. There's a major discussion about making tea on Shabbos. Do we consider tea to be kalei habishal? So a number of poskim, Ben Tzion and others, say just look. I mean, you put tea in a klisheni, it definitely does the job. It becomes a regular cup of tea. So isn't that a raya that it's kalei habishal? But the Gemara is going to identify that which is not kalei habishal, and one of the things the Gemara identifies is tavlin, that spices are not kalei habishal. So some are, well, what's tea? Tea is just a spice, it's a flavoring for the water. You don't actually drink the tea leaves, you just flavor the water with it. So maybe tea is not a din of kalei habishal. Rav Shechter writes in Nefesh HaRav that Rav Salvechik used to say that his grandfathers used to cook tea in klisheni on Shabbos, that they were not makbid. The Mishabrura is extra machmir. The Mishabrura holds not even a klishlishi, you have to make tea essence before Shabbos. Rav Meisha has sort of the middle opinion. Rav Meisha writes in the Tshuva, you can't make tea in a klisheni, but you can make tea in a klishlishi. But Rav Salvechik said that his grandfathers, and Rav Salvechik himself was also makel, that even in a klisheni, because it has a din of tavlin, and therefore it's not going to be a violation of bishul. I once clarified with the Rashachter asking which grandfather. He told me both Rav Salvechik's grandfathers, both Rav Elia Prajna, Rav Elia Feinstein, as well as Rav Chaim Salvechik, held that tea could be made in a klisheni. I asked Rav Shechter, and what about you? Do you make tea in a klisheni? He said only when he's thirsty for tea. Okay, so he makes tea in a klisheni also, I guess. So v'lo yafkienu besudarin, and you can't roast the egg or fry the egg on a hot cloth. So the Gemara brings a Mishnah from later on in the Masechta, where there's going to be a machlok, elaborating this machlokas between the Chum and Rabbi Yossi. Again, in the Mishnah, we had a machlokas, can you fry an egg on a cloth that was heated by the sun? You're not frying it in the sun directly, not on something that was heated by fire, but something that was heated by the sun. Toldos hachama. The Mishnah is going to say later on that you could put a tavshil into a bar that doesn't have any water. Bishvil sheyesh shom, or in order that it should be protected from the heat and it won't spoil. Vesamayim ayafim b'ra'im. And you're allowed to take a kli that has clean potable water in it and put it into a cold pool of dirty water, bishvil sheyitzanenu, in order to cool off the clean water. Veshatzonin bechama bishvil sheyichamu. You could take a pot of cold clean water and put it inside a pool of hot, dirty water in order to heat up the clean water. So lema, Rabbi Yossi, hivala rabbanan. The fact that we allow that last thing, that you're taking the cold water and you're heating it up with the hot water in the bar, that's going like Rabbi Yossi and not like the rabbanan, because Rabbi Yossi allows you to fry the egg on the toldos hachama, and the chachamim do not allow you to do it. So says the Gemara, Amar Rav Nachman, bechama dukliyam lo pligi deshari. No, when you're cooking something in the sun, everyone would agree that that's going to be mutter. The issur d'oraisa does not include cooking something in the sun. Cooking something in the sun, the way Rashi explains, is ein derech bishul bekach, that it's not considered to be the derech bishul. It's a very important line in Rashi. Is that what defines the issur d'oraisa of bishul? That it's not a normal way to be mevashel. Poskim discuss whether there's an issur of bishul midoraisa in a microwave, because if that becomes the derech bishul, that certain items are cooked typically in a microwave, It is not at all what the Gemara had in mind in terms of the way Bishul was typically done. It's not at all similar to the Mishkan, but it is Derech Bishul. So what defines the Melach D'Oraisa of Bishul? Is it that it has to be similar to the way Bishul was done in the Mishkan, in which case microwaves are certainly not, or is it Derech Bishul L'Kach, whatever is the normal way to cook? So that's a major discussion in contemporary poskim. Obviously, you're not going to cook in a microwave anyway. You have to push all the buttons and things like that. There are many other Yisurim involved. But anyway, the Rabbanon, even the Rabbanon would not aser cooking something b'chama, because there's no cause for concern that someone is going to confuse cooking in the sun to cooking in a fire. Betoldos ha'ar, to cook in something that was heated by fire, kuliyam lo pligi daser. Both the Rabbanon and Rabbi Yossi are going to say that that's an issa d'oraisa. Ki pligi betoldos ha'chama. The whole machlokes, Rabbanon and Rabbi Yossi, is what if you have something that's been heated by the sun? You have, something that uses solar. There are some people asked me a shayla about this a while ago. I don't remember the details, but it's some type of cooker that they use outdoors that fries things that uses solar power. So it's heated by the sun, or the dud shemesh, right? This is a major discussion. There are different types of dud shemesh and how they work exactly, whether it's toldos hachama or not, but something that's heated by the sun, and you're using that which is heated by the sun to cook your water. So mar savar, the chachamim hold gazrin and toldos chama atu toldos ha'or, that we make atu toldos ha'or, that we make a gzera that you're not allowed to use toldos hachama, because you might come to allow using toldos ha'or as well, using that which was heated by fire as well. Umar sover lo gazrinan, and the Rabbi Yossi holds that we're not gozer on Isser Bishul betoldos hachama atu toldos ha'or. That toldos hachama is different than toldos ha'or. Why is it different? So the Ritva writes that Rabbi Yossi's svara is because it's very clearly recognizable that you're cooking it betoldos hachama, and you're not going to come to confuse it with that which was heated by a fire. But he doesn't explain whether the Ritva doesn't elaborate whether this kula applies to all toldos hachama or only those toldos hachama that are unlikely to be confused with Toldos Ha'or. So Tosus points out, and the Marshal explains to us in Dibra Maskel Shema, that there's a difference between a Sudar and other Toldos Hachama. When is Rabbi Yossi going to be Mekel? By a Sudar. Why? Because a Sudar, it's impossible to heat it up with fire. If you were to take a cloth and try to heat it up with fire, you'd burn the entire cloth. So that's why no one will confuse it with Toldos Ha'or. But if you're talking about other items, a flat sheet of metal that was heated by the sun, that's very likely to be confused with Toldos Ha'or, and then maybe even Rabbi Yossi would be Machmir. So says Tosfos. Says Gemara Vayter, V'lo yatminan b'chol. You're not allowed to take the egg and insulate it with hot sand. So v'livlog nami Rabbi Yossi b'ha. Ask the Gemara, why doesn't Rabbi Yossi disagree on this one also? Just like he was matir to roast the egg on the sudar, he should have allowed doing the hatmana of the egg in the hot sand. So why is Rabbi Yossi not allowing it when it comes to the hot sand? So Rabba Amar Gzera Shamiyatmin Beremetz. Rabba says because Rabbi Yossi is concerned that someone will confuse hot sand for some combination of hot sand and coals, which would actually be Bishul D'Oraisa, and therefore he makes this Gezerah. Rav Yosef Amar, no, it's a different issue. Mepresha mezes afar mimakomo, that if you take the egg out, you're moving the sand from its original location, and you're actually digging a hole, you're leaving a cavity in the ground where the egg was, and you're moving the sand out of the way. So it's a separate isser of being chofer guma, having nothing to do with Bishul. My benai, what's enough gemina between the two reasons as to why Rabbi Yossi assers putting the egg in the hot sand? What if you have very soft sand, meaning where it's not going to leave a hole, the sand, it's not going to leave a cavity, because the sand is not solid enough to remain open. It will just fill in the hole. So if the gzera is shamiyatmin beremetz, you still have that concern. But if it's only gzera of yazaz afar mimikomo, then you don't have that concern anymore. So ask the Gemara, meisvei, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, megalgalin beitzal gabe roteach, that you're allowed to roast an egg on Shabbos on that which was heated by the sun, because it's toldos hachama, ve'in megalgalin beitzal gabe sid roteach, Pesach, but you're not allowed to roast an egg in a toldo sa'or, because toldo sa'or, so bishlam l'man di'amar, gezeir Hashem yatmin baremetz, leka l'migzar. I understand, according to the shita that Rabbi Yossi holds, that you're not allowed to be matmin in sand, because we're afraid that you're going to be matmin baremetz as well with actual coals, so there's no makom for a gezeira, because you're not being matmin, you're just placing it there, and that's why he's matir it. But according to Rav Yosef, that the reason Rav Yosef asks is putting the egg in the sand is because you can end up digging a hole. So why is Rav Shimon ben Gamliel matir by the gag? Ligzar stam gag. Ligzar. You should make a gzera by a gag that you might move the dirt around as well, and that's going to help in the roasting of the egg, and you can end up digging a hole. Sans the Gemara, stam gag, less by offer. Because a typical gag doesn't have dirt on it. It's not made out of dirt, and therefore there's no chashash when you're using a gag that you're going to come to be to be chofer guma. So Gemara brings another kasha on Rav Yosef. Tashema, another kasha. Maisa shasman sheitvari veviyusin shaltsonin l'tochamin shalchamin. That we said that they used to run, the people of Tveria ran a pipe of cold water through an ama shalchamin, through a waterway of hot water, through a pool of water that was hot water, and the chachamim asked using the water that went through the pipe. So the Gemara assumes that at this point that the Chamei Tveria that the pipe ran through were not heated by a fire. It was rather toldos hachama. So the Chachamim asserted using water that was heated by toldos hachama. So Bishlam Lamad Yam Ryan said very well according to Rabba that Rabbi Yossi asers hatmana b'chol because of gzeira shamiyatmin baremetz, because he's afraid you're going to come to use actual coals. Hainu dedamio lahatmana. So that's why he would agree to aser the silon shalmayim as well in the Chamei Tveria, because that also looks a lot like hatmana, and we should make a similar gzeira shamiyatmin baremetz. Lamad Yam Reisha mezes aframi mekomo. But according to Rav Yosef, who holds that the whole reason that Rav Yosef is moda to aser hatzmana b'chol is because you can end up being chofer guma. Well, there is no chofer guma in a pipe that's running through hot springs. So why in the world would we aser that? So says Gmar, Misav Maisa Tveria a Seifa Koi. You think the Maisa Tveria is going on the Seifa of putting something in sand and the Avak Drachim, which immediately preceded where Rabbi Yossi would hold that it's Aser, and the Mishnah is bringing the Maisa in order to emphasize that point? No! Areisha Koi. The Maisa Tveria is going back on the first part of the Mishnah. Lo Yafkiyana Basudrin Rabbi Yossi Matir. That we had a Machlokas whether Toldo Sachama is going to be Aser or not. And Vahachi Karmilei, Rabban and Rabbi Yossi. The Rabbanan were saying to Rabbi Yossi, how can you be matir, roasting an egg on a hot cloth that was heated by the sun? Hamaisa d'Anshei Tveria told us Chamahu Vasul Rabbanan. With the story with the Anshei Tveria, they were also. It was also told us Hachama, because it was the Chamei Tveria that was heating the water that was running through it. Chamei Tveria is told us Hachama, and yet the Rabbanan still said Asur. So Amar Lahu, so Rabbi Yossi responds right back to them, you think the Chamei Tveria are heated by the sun? No. Hahu told us Urhu. The Chamei Tveria is heated by a fire. What fire? It's a naturally hot spring. Because the way it's heated is that it passes through the Pesach of Gehenim. And since it goes past the Pesach of Gehenim, in Gehenim there are hot fires, so that's considered to be that it was heated by a fire and not that it was heated by the sun. The Ramban in the Shara Gemul, the Ramban talks about Olam Haba and Gehenim and Gan Eden and all of these and Yemos HaMashiach and all of these related topics. In a section called Shara Gumul, the Ramban writes that you see the fire of Gehenim is not only a spiritual fire, that it's also a physical fire, that with the physical senses one can feel its heat. Otherwise, the Chamei Tveria would never be able to get heated by the fires of Gehenim. I'm not sure the Nafkamina, I guess, is the Chamei Tveria, but that's what the Ramban writes in the Shara Gumul. There's a fascinating comment I just came across this morning in the Panine Halacha section of the Sifta, I guess somewhat of a Daf Yomi coincidence, of Rav Chaim Kanievsky Shlita in the Sefer Derech Amuna. In the Tosefta in Meseches Pesachim in the Yerushalmi, it says that you cannot be Yotze the mitzvah of Matzah on Pesach with sufganin that were baked in the Chama. with that which was baked in the sun. So in Derech Emunah, Meseches Bikurim, he asks from the Gemara in Meseches Psachim, famous Gemara in Meseches Psachim, Matzah Zu Shanu Ochon Al Shum, at the very end of Psachim, why do we eat this matzah? Shalo Hispik B'tzekun Shalav Asein Lahachmitz. Shnem Rav Yofel Sabatzik Asharotzim, Mitzrayim Ugos Matzos, that our dough didn't have time to rise when we left Mitzrayim. And the Targum Yonah's son, he explains that he'd see us Mitzrayim, our dough was actually baked on our heads from the sun as we were leaving Mitzrayim. So according to the Tosefta and the Yerushalmi, not only can matzah be baked in the sun, matzah was baked in the sun. The very first matzah was sun-baked matzah. So how can the Yerushalmi and the Tosefta say that you're not allowed to bake matzah in the sun? So says Rav Chaim Kanievsky, to be miyashev, that our Gemara says that if you're mevashel bechama or bechame chama, you're potter. It's not called bishel. But if you're mevashel bechame tveria, you're chayiv. Why? Because chame tveria are called chamei or because they pass by the Pesach of Gehenim. So apparently we see whatever gets heated by the Pesach of Gehenim is considered to be heated by fire mamish. So says Chaim Kanievsky, little bekiyas. But Gemara Bava Basra Daf Pei Dalet tells us that the sun is really white, but since in the morning it passes by the Pesach of Gehenim, it turns red in the morning. And because it's heated by the Pesach of Gehenim in the morning, the Gemara in Bava Basra says. So says Rav Chaim, Yetzias Mitzrayim was right away in the morning. The Gemara in Brachos Daf Tes Amud Aleph tells us that. So it could be that the Targum Yonasan holds that a white sun that has become red from the Pesach of Gehenim doesn't have a din of Toldos HaChama, it has a din of Toldos HaOr. And therefore, matzah baked on it is going to be like matzah baked by a fire. That's quite a chiddush to say that which was baked by the sun doesn't have a din of chama or even toldos chama, has a din of toldos haor because of its connection to Gehenim. But it's a very creative answer to that question. Okay, so says Gemara Vayter, Amar Rav Chista. We could see from this from the story of Maisa of the Anshei Tveria. Mi Maisa Shasu Anshei Tveria. From the story of what the Anshei Tveria did, running the pipe of cold water through the Chamei Tveria, v'asri luhu rabbanan, the rabbanan telling them that that is not acceptable, but l'hatmana b'davar amos of hevel. So we see that from there we see that you're not allowed to do hatmana b'davar amos of hevel, v'afil mibod yom, even on Erev Shabbos. You're not allowed to insulate something in that which adds extra heat, even if you set up the entire system before Shabbos, and you didn't do any mice on Shabbos at all. Even that going to be aser. Hatman b'davar amos of hevel is defined by the poskim as insulating something in a way that the contents get hotter than they otherwise would have. Even if the item that you're being matman with does not itself actually add any heat, it's something that doesn't have a heat source. But if you, let's say you have something on a fire, and normally a lot of the air would escape and it would therefore only get to a certain temperature, and then you wrap towels around that which is on the heat source, most poskim assume that's called hatmana b'davar amosif hevel, because now the item that you're being matman will get to a hotter point, and that's why they used to sell. I don't think they do anymore, I hope not at least, they used to sell these covers for urns, for hot water urns, and it would fit snugly around the urn, you'd zip it up, and that way it would keep the water in the urn much hotter than it otherwise would be. And it used to say, on the front, it would say L'kavod Shabbos Kodesh. So Moreno Rav Willig used to tell us they should put on the front, L'chilul Shabbos Kodesh. Because even if you do that on Erev Shabbos, it's still going to be Atmana B'davar Amos of Hevel, which is Aser, even on Erev Shabbos. So Amar Ula, Halacha Kanshei Tveria. We paskin like the Anshei Tveria that you're allowed to put the cold water running through the Chamei Tveria before Shabbos, and even though it continues to run through on Shabbos. So Amalei Rav Nachman, Kvar Tavrinu Anshei Tveria L'Silunayhu. What are you talking about? As soon as the Rabbanan answered it, the Anshei Tveria went themselves, went and broke all their pipes because they accepted that the Rabbanan were Machmir and that they weren't allowed to do it. So don't tell me the Halacha is like the Anshei Tveria. You know who doesn't pass like the Anshei Tveria? The Anshei Tveria don't even pass like the Anshei Tveria anymore. So you can't tell me that Halacha is like the Anshei Tveria. Maisa Shasu Anshei Tveria. The Mishnah had said, so they brought this pipe of cold water running through these hot springs, and the Chum said that if it was on Shabbos, then it has the status of water that was heated on Shabbos, so you're not allowed to bathe in it, you're not allowed to drink in it. If it was on Yom Tov, then it's like Chum and that are Huchmu be Yom Tov, and it's Aser to bathe in, but you're allowed to drink it. So, Mayruchitza, what kind of bathing are we referring to that we're saying that this hot water water, this water that was heated on Shabbos through the Chamei Tveria, is usher to bathe in. Ilei merchitzas kol gufo, if we're talking about mamish bathing your entire body, elechamin shulchum b'shabbos u'dasur, and elechamin shulchum b'merev Shabbos mutarin, do you mean to tell me that it's only usher because it was heated on Shabbos? But had the water been heated on Erev Shabbos, then you're going to be allowed to bathe in it. V'atayni echamin shulchum b'merev Shabbos l'macharoch es ben panav yadav raglov, avalo kol gufo. But the Braisa tells us explicitly that even if you have water that was heated before Shabbos, you're not allowed to bathe your entire body in it on Shabbos because of a gezeira. They made a gezeiras habalanim that you're not allowed to do this. Elapanav yadav raglav. So when we're talking about bathing over here, we must mean bathing only certain parts of your body, your face, your hands, your feet, that they never asered using water that was heated before Shabbos. If you have a pool of water that was heated before Shabbos, you're allowed to wash your hands with that water on Shabbos. You're allowed to wash your face with that water on Shabbos. So it must be that's what we're saying, that if the water went through the Chamei Tveria and was heated, you're not even allowed to wash your hands, face, and feet with it. So Ema Seifa, but then the Seifa goes on to say that beyond that on Yantif, it has a din of that which was heated on Yantif, and therefore you're still not allowed to bathe in it, but you're allowed to drink it. Well, Lema Tnan Stama, Kibe Shamai. Well, then the Mishnah seems to be assuming like Be Shamai, Ditnan, because the Mishnah Maseches Beitza tells us that Be Shamai Omrim, Leichem Adam Chamin, Leraglav, Elim Ken Ruyin Lishtia. Be Shamai holds you're not allowed to heat water to wash your feet, to wash your hands, to wash your face on Yom Tov. But Beis Hillel Matirin, Beis Hillel allows on Yom Tov heating up water. Remember, you're allowed to cook on Yom Tov. So you're allowed to cook on Yom Tov for food, and there's a machlokes, and that's beferish in the Torah. Machlokes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, are you allowed to heat up water on Yom Tov to wash your hands, to wash your face, to wash your feet? And Beis Hillel is the one that says that it's mutter, even though that was your plan all along, to wash your hands, face, and feet. The Ritva explains that since we have a principle called mitoch shehutra l'tzorach ochel nefesh, hutra nami shalol l'tzorach ochel nefesh. Since we allow cooking for the sake of ochel nefesh, for the sake of eating, so we allow cooking for non-ochel nefesh needs, provided that it's shavah l'kol nefesh. And it's shavah l'kol nefesh for a person to consistently wash their hands, face, and feet. The Rambam, in the Perush of Mishnayos and Maseches Beitza, and in Hilchos Shvisas Yontov, Perek Aleph, Halachat HaZayin, says that according to Beis Hillel, it's not even, we don't even have to utilize the principle of mitoch. Any tzorchei aguf is included in ochel nefesh. And washing your hands, face, and feet is a basic tzorchei aguf. So that's included in ochel nefesh. So it's, what's going to be aser according to Beis Hillel? Only if you heat water to wash your entire body. Because heating water to wash your entire body, that is not considered to be a basic tzorech haguf. That is not something, according to the Rambam, and according to the Ritva, it's not considered to be shavah l'kol nefesh. It's not something that people typically need to do on a consistent basis in the times of the Mishnah and the Gemara, and even in the times of the Rishonim, basically until the times of indoor plumbing, it was very uncommon for people to bathe multiple times a week. It was very uncommon for people to even bathe once a week. Jews did it because of the covered Shabbos, but it was very uncommon for people to bathe their entire body so frequently, and therefore it was not called shavah l'kol nefesh. It was like an extra oneg that people would have. It would therefore turn out, and this is pointed out by the poskim, that bisman hazeh l'chora there would be no issur d'oraisa to heat up water in order. Shmir Shabbos Kulchasa points out there would be no issur d'oraisa to heat up water on Yom Tov to bathe your entire body. So why don't we just tell everyone that there's no problem whatsoever in taking hot showers in Yom Tov? Because while there's no issur d'oraisa, there may be an issur d'rabanan. There's a gezeres habalanim that just like you're not allowed to use water that was heated up before Shabbos to bathe in on Shabbos, it could be that includes Yom Tov as well. So the gezeira would still apply that even if you avoid any issur of bishul on a daraisa level, that there's a gezeira to bathe one's entire body in hot water. There is a machlokas, Ramban and Tosos, that Mori Rabbi Rav Shechter likes to point out how far the gezeiras habalanim goes, how far the issur goes, whether the issur only includes water that is hot, but water that is lukewarm is mutter, or whether the issur does not even include water water that is the Isser includes even water that is lukewarm, and that water that you just put in a little bit of heat into it to take out the chill, that would be mutter. Shechter always prefers to be more machmir, and to say that if one is going to bathe on Yom Tov, they should only just put in enough hot water to take out the chill, but not to make it lukewarm. But there is what to be somechan in terms of using lukewarm water, just not piping hot water, not very very hot water. Now with the COVID-19, he's been makel for women who come back from the mikveh on Yom Tov. So first of all, there's a minhag that's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch based on the Gemara we had earlier in Shabbos and Siman Reish Aleph in Shulchan Aruch and Yardaya, that a woman is not supposed to bathe after using the mikveh. So right away we're makel on that. We assume that that's only the taharos, and even though we're normally machmir, even labayla, we're makel on that nowadays. If a woman goes to the mikveh and she's nervous about any surfaces that she may have touched or anything like that, to bathe right after, to take a shower after coming back from the mikveh. But if it's on Yantiv, can she take a warm shower? So if Shachter wrote a tshuva last week or 2 weeks ago that she's allowed even to take a warm shower on Yom Tov in order to after using the mikveh, not on Shabbos, but on Yom Tov, because on Shabbos we're dealing with Bishul Daraisa, and because on Yom Tov it's Shavu'ot L'Kol Nefesh, so it's not Bishul Daraisa anyway, so we're willing to be makel on Yom Tov. Okay, says Gemara Vayter, Amar Avika Bar Chananya, that really the Mishnah is talking about bathing your entire body, but not by going in the bath, but rather by showering your entire body. V'hai tanahu, and the Tana of our Mishnah follows the sheet of Rabbi Shimon in the following Braisa. The Tanya, the Braisa tells us, lo yishtativ adam kol gufo, bein b'chamin, bein b'tzonin divrei Meir. Rabbi Meir says, you're not allowed to shower, whether it be in hot water or whether it be in cold water, even if the water was heated before Shabbos. Rabbi Shimon holds that you're allowed to shower if the water was heated before Shabbos. You can pour that water over your body. Rabbi Yehuda Omer b'chamin aser b'tzonin muter. And Rabbi Yehuda says if it was heated before Shabbos, you're not allowed to shower in hot water, but cold water is going to be muter. So Rabbi Shimon, who allows being shotef kol gufo b'chamin that was heated on Erev Shabbos, must be the author of our Mishnah, and that's why we say that dafka chamin that was huchmu b'Shabbos is going to be Yasser, but if it were Hucha Me'erev Shabbos, it would have been Mutter. So Amar Rav Chista Machlokas Bekli. The Machlokas about Shtifas Kol Gufo on Shabbos with water that was heated on Erev Shabbos is only if you took Mayim in a Kli and you poured it on you. That's where Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda are going to Asser, because it looks like someone who sees hot water in a Kli is going to assume that it was heated by fire on Shabbos, because a Kli doesn't keep the water hot for very long, and then you're going to come to be mechamim on Shabbos as well. Aval bekarka, but water that comes from the ground that's insulated by the ground, like in the bathhouses, divrei hakol mutter. Everyone would hold you're allowed to bathe with on Shabbos, because even though it was heated by fire, no one is going to assume that it was heated today, because in the karka it retains the heat much better. It's like a thermos; it retains the heat for days at a time. So we don't have to make a gzera that people are going to think that you're allowed to heat up the water on Shabbos. Iva ma'isa d'anshei tveri b'karka hava va'asu l'rabbanan. But the story with the anshei tveri, where they ran that pipe, it was running through the ground, and yet the rabbanan asked using it to bathe on Shabbos. So don't you see that even that which is in the karka, you're not allowed to use to bathe? Eli itmar hachi itmar. So we have to reformulate the way we said this. Machlokas bekarka. The whole machlokas where Rabbi Shimon is matir and he holds that there's no reason to be gozer is only when it was bekarka, and even then Rabbi Meir Rabbi Yehuda would say it's aser. Aval bekli divrei hakol aser. But if it was heated in a kli, then everyone, even Rabbi Shimon, would say that it's going to be aser, because someone who sees it might think that you're allowed to heat up water on Shabbos. So if it was heated on Shabbos itself, Rabbi Shimon would agree that it's aser to be mishtatef even by karka, which is exactly what the chacham paskin for the anshei tveria, that the water that went through that pipe is like cham in the suchmu b'Shabbos, and you're therefore not allowed to bathe in it, you're not allowed to drink it. Amar Rabbi Bar Bechanan, Rabbi Yochanan Allah Rabbi Yehuda. We passing like Rabbi Yehuda that you're allowed to be mishtatev kol gufo in cold water, and it's aser b'chamin even if it was heated mibod yom, meaning water water that was heated before Shabbos, you're not even allowed to shower in that water. So Amalei Rav Yosef, Beferish Mi'alach, Amachlalash Mi'alach. When you heard this psak from Rabbi Yehuda, you heard that when you heard this psak from Rabbi Yochanan, that we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, did Rabbi Yochanan say it straight out, or did you derive it from something else Rabbi Yochanan said? So he said, my klala. Well, what it, would it have been derived from, which causes us to question this? So he said, Dom Rav Tanchum, Am Rabbi Yochanan, Am Rabbi Yanai, Am Rav, Kol Makom Shatamotzi, Shnayim Chalukin, Vechon Machriya, typically, whenever you have two extreme shitos, and one shita that goes down the middle, Halacha K'divrei Machriya. We paskin like the middle shita, the one that's Machriya between the two extremes, Chutz Mikulei Matlanios, Sha'af Al Pish, Rabbi Lazar Machmir, Rabbi Shua Mekel, Rabbi Akiva Machriya, Ein Halacha K'divrei Machriya. Except for the sugya we had of Matlanios on Daf Chav Tes Amar Aleph, back on Daf Chav Tes Amar Aleph, about pieces of begadim that were smaller than 3x3 tfachim, and they used to plug the merchats with them, whether they're makabel tumo or not, that Rabbi Lazar held that when, whether they're muchan or whether they're not mina muchan, they're tame, according to Rabbi Shua, they're always tar, and Rabbi Kiva was machriya, mina muchan is tame, shalom, mina muchan is tar. Over there, we don't follow the machriya. Why not? Chadad Rabbi Kiva Talmud, who? Rabbi Kiva was a Talmud of Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Shua, so the hachra of a Talmud is not going to go against his own Rebbein. We're not going to pass like that against his own Rebbein. Va'od, hadrabe Rabbi Akiva legabid Rabbi Shua, plus Rabbi Kiva himself changed his mind. So says Gemara, okay, so vi'i mechlala mai. And if we're paskening like Rabbi Yehuda over here, based on mechlala, based on the klal, that there is a, that halacha k'divrei machriya, what's the big deal? It still seems pretty muchach that we're going to pasken like Rabbi Yehuda. So says Gemara, no, because dil mahani mili b'masnisen avu b'braisa lo. Maybe this, what Rabbi Yochanan says, that you halachas k'divrei machriya, that's only true in Mishnayos and not in Braisos. And therefore, maybe in this Braisa, we're not going to pass on like Rabbi Yehuda the Machriya. Amalei, Ana Beferish Mirli. Says, okay, so I'll tell you. I heard Beferish from Rabbi Yochanan that we pass on like Rabbi Yehuda. It had nothing to do with Halacha K'divrei Machriya, and therefore you can rest assured that Halach, in fact, is like Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, we'll stop there. Be'ez Hashem will be learning on our own the next couple of days, and on Friday, Be'ez Hashem, I think we're back to normal schedule. So I think back to 6:15 in the morning on Friday, Be'ez Hashem. Everyone should have a wonderful Yantiv.
Yes, sir.